Billy Joel, age 66, just got married for the fourth time and I'm single. Don't go to the Carolinas or the Bahamas because they're sharks. And Kit Harington, a.k.a. Jon Snow, took his long, lovely locks to Wimbledon, possibly meaning that he's not dead. This is Sports Without Balls.
Holy cow!
A perfect score. 10.2.
He hacked it to 2-0, now to 2-1. Line drive!
Hello again, everyone. This is
Sports Without Balls. Hey, Sports Without Balls fans, friends, family, episode 94, fantastic episode. We've got women's soccer, we've got tennis, we've got some NBA, we've got Courtney Cronin calling in with some NBA stuff. We've got some ridiculous stories around every single league. Also, I'd like to give a shout out to All Things Comedy. We are in the All Things Comedy studio. Thank you for being so supportive. Go to that website. Tons of fantastic stand-up and podcasts. We've got Aaron working the booth.
Devin Mesoraco.
He taunts me every week with my Rockford Peaches fantasy baseball catcher that, never played because he's got hips of an 88-year-old. We've got a great episode planned today. One of my favorite people on earth is sitting to the right of me. We've known each other since the 60s, even though we're both 25, from the stand-up days in New York City. She does improv. She does sketch. She puts on wigs and does characters. She's one of my favorite people alive. Erin Brown!
What's up, Foley?
Yay! We got Brownie, we got Foley. We got three Erins in the studio.
This is the only reason I said yes, that I agreed to do this show. I'd like to be surrounded by Erins.
We got Erin, 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 and Erin. We just had an Erin off, and we had multiple moments before we hit record with just amazing Erin stories.
Hilarious.
Of like, you go to Starbucks and they're like, what's your name? They're like, Erin. And then they look at me and believe it or not, I look like a lady. And they write A-A-R-O-N on the cup.
Yes.
Or A-R-O-N or...
They're like, how do you spell that? I'm like, there's only one way because there's only one girl's name. E-R-I-N. Look it up. Biatch.
It's not like Sheila, our friend Sheila
Ratner.
Sheila Ratner, who is a fun guest of the show, where, you know, you could butcher that name. She also... Her favorite joke is she got jury duty and they said Schlug Ratner, which is my favorite. But it's also, then you can have Gaelic, you can have, you know what I mean? Like, yes. I get it, but Erin, Jesus.
Erin Lauder spells hers with an A, A-E-R-I-N or something.
Okay,
like
well,
that.
Kill yourself.
Whatever.
No, I'm kidding. I'm sure she's lovely.
And do you remember there was a newscaster on CNN named Erin Brown?
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, yes. Wait. Thank
he
you,
He covered 9/11.
He did.
He was the voice of what is happening.
Oh, my God. You almost said he was the voice of 9/11. And then we almost stopped the podcast and just forever. That's something horrible to remember. Oh, yeah, you were the voice of 9/11. You're like, no,
yeah.
I did other things. I did other things. Hey, what a way to start this podcast. Good news. Listen, Brownie.
Yes.
We're going to jump right into the sports, but I have not seen you in a while. How was your July 4th weekend?
My July 4th weekend was ridiculous.
Yeah?
It was really fun. Yeah.
You always wind up, we always text with like 17 plans that didn't come together and you wind up in Hermosa Beach. That's pretty much every July 4th weekend.
I was going to go to your big fest.
Yes.
But I just, you know, I book in advance fully.
Right.
About a year in advance for holidays.
It's very hard to get Brownie at any social
it's
event.
It's hard to get you.
Also, yeah, it is hard to get me. Also, it was basically like six lesbos sitting around a grill.
That's kind
so
of
for a straight single lady. Well, maybe you're dating. Who knows? You're always dating like eight people.
Absolutely, I'm popular with the men
and the women
and the women. Which I would have been nice to go to your party, but yeah, I needed to look around.
I wouldn't say it was a party. I think it turned into just how many. I just when you host something, but then you just don't want to. And but the good thing is like it was just like a bunch of friends I knew, so everyone I was like, you guys, whatever you want to eat and drink, there's the grill.
Yeah. The help yourself.
I wouldn't be floating in the pool.
My friend always has quote unquote parties like that. BYOB, BYO food, BYO anything you want.
Oh my God, that's
you can
hilarious.
Just use our yard. I'm like, okay.
I was actually house sitting. Things aren't going that well. I don't have a pool, but
I did
load up on the food and beverage. So people just brought a lot. I successfully took care of my guests all weekend because Saturday we had the barbecue and then Sunday Let's see. I can't remember what I was doing. That's right. Having a nervous breakdown.
Yes.
And then total jubilation for the Women's World Cup.
Within
final.
Like 2 minutes.
Within 2 minutes.
Beyond.
It was one of those things where you try to relax during the day. I know there's thankfully a lot of regulars to the show, and I think it's been established that I can't relax, probably since the 80s. But when it comes to sports, there's absolutely no relaxing. And I had some friends over for the weekend that were staying at my friend's place, whatever. And I tried to act like a normal person during the day, but then got I basically started drinking rosé around 1.
Nice.
And I usually don't drink during sporting events, but I couldn't contain my nerves.
Did it help?
Oh, God, yeah.
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 Was it from the box?
You know what, Brownie? It wasn't this time from the box.
All right.
I really classed
it up.
I'm impressed.
I do have a confession to make, though. I could have gone to your party, but I just, your nerves unnerve me, and it takes the joy out of sitting back with a Corona Light in my hand and enjoying some soccer.
I hear you. I tried. So I had a couple friends over, and Fortune Feimster, who did the podcast last week, fantastic stand-up. She texted me like late, and I wasn't looking at my phone for some reason. So we sit down to watch the game, and the doorbell rings, and I was like, "What a hole! Like, is this a neighbor? Like, what's going on? Like, this is minutes before game time.
Yeah.
It's freaking Fortune at the door with like 5 boxes of sweets, and she's like, "I go, I didn't know you were coming." She's like, "Buddy, check your text." Anyway, so then she sits down. I think I just nailed an impression of Fortune.
Yeah, and that's pretty good.
So Fortune was really fun because she was trying to keep it light, and I looked at her, and she also live tweets the entire time, right? And I was like, Fortune, like, I can't, like, there's no, you know, established rules. And not a lot of eye contact and, you know, just no chatting.
Mm-hmm.
And
eyes on the game.
Eyes on the game. And then, I mean, the amount of goals we scored so quickly.
Beyond.
I've never seen anything like that. I mean, it was Carly Lloyd.
Crazy.
Carly
Lloyd. I love her.
Jersey.
She's Jersey. That's
She's
right.
She's so Jersey.
Yes, that's right.
Brownie's from Jersey, you guys.
What's
Jersey.
Up?
New Jersey shout out. Rutgers, Jersey, like just solid awesome.
Solid people from the state of New Jersey.
Well, you know, my super nerdy soccer friends and I were talking maybe like the first round. We're like, I kept screaming out, does Carly Lloyd know these games count? Because she's like, if we go as Carly Lloyd goes, you know, and Rapinoe is like, you know, fantastic, and Wambach, and you hope Alex got it together, like Morgan, because, you know, her fitness level was off. She just seemed off the whole tournament. I mean, I thought she had some positive plays, but overall, I think she was just super rusty from the injury. But the whole time I'm like, what is happening with Carly Lloyd? And then those last couple of games, she just,
boom,
like, next level.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah, well, one of those interviews, you're saying, like, what they asked her what was different in the final game, and she's like, we were just free, and we didn't, like, they let go, you know?
How do you let go during the final?
I don't know. They just, well, maybe that's, you know, they came out like gangbusters, and then she's like, we were just attacking.
Yeah.
It was so great.
It was.
And, like, the little Japanese girls. I mean, I felt a little bad for them. I mean, they
redundant.
Got their, what?
That's redundant. It's a tiny culture. I like Japan. I'd love to go see Japan.
I do like their uniforms. That was part of the discussion at the party I was at.
Wow. Okay, so talk to me before we get nerdy in the plays. Talk to me about what your atmosphere was like.
So
it seemed like the opposite of mine.
Yes, it was fun, and I was I had to do stuff that day, so I was getting ready in my house. So I saw the beginning of the game, so I got I couldn't leave my house for the first half. And I felt like such a freak because I was getting out of the shower. And I'm like, wow, like by myself, like, yes, like jumping up and down. Like my neighbors must think I'm on crack and I really don't care. And then I went to this party, which was, let's say, maybe was it a frat party for 25-year-olds?
Oh, my God. Brownie, it was like, you wound up at a frat party in Hermosa Beach?
No. This one was right actually in Hollywood on Sunday.
Okay, good.
Yeah. There's pictures of me on Twitter bartending. But I was like the serious one. I was like, dude, like put the game on.
They didn't have the game on?
They finally did.
I'm panicking post game
for
you.
And this girl's like, oh, it's fine. It's intermission. I was like,
no,
oh my
no,
God.
No,
am I with a bunch of improvisers? Yes, I was.
No. No.
But then we got serious. I'm like, please turn the sound up. And, like, I don't care. I will sit in a room by myself and watch this. And then it was fun. But I had these two hilarious gay guys who were like, wait a second. Like, what do you think of the uniforms?
Oh, no. You're describing my worst nightmare.
You would have died. I was kind of cracking up. And then at the end, he was like, can we hang out, like, all the time? So I'm going out with those guys right after the show. I think they'd be great on your show.
Oh, my God. They would be good. The color commentary would be amazing.
Literally about color.
It reminds me, I'll tell you this, and I've talked about it before, so we'll just keep it brief, but you would get a kick out of this. During the Super Bowl, I had, you know, I work for, like, Atlantis Events. It's a cruise line. It's all gay men, right? And you go all over the world, and it's, like, the greatest gig ever, right? But during the Super Bowl, it was day one of the cruise, the Super Bowl.
Right.
And the commentary, like, some guys knew, right? I'm not being stereotypical. It was just like a ship full of 3,000 gay men. It was like one of those, like, and it was a Caribbean, so it was like the party one, you know?
Yeah.
It skewed younger, and they just wanted to, like, you know, do their thing. And so I had to get up and leave because it was the first it was the first half, and, like, I was like, okay, a lot of people were in jerseys. I was like, oh, okay, like, they know what they're talking about, and a lot of people did. But then you'd get people just drunk walking through the area just being like, ghosts, you know, purple and green.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to sink the ship with my negative energy. And so I had to go into my cabin and just stew.
Did you watch it on your iPhone in your cabin?
Thankfully, it was on, because I was just like, what if it's not on my TV in my cabin? Because it was on some weird channel, like satellite cruise channel, like where you didn't get commercials. They just kept playing whatever. So that's
Love Boat reruns.
That's what it would have been like if I was at your party.
Dude, I've been to, for any of you who haven't had the pleasure of watching a game with Anne Foley, it's as much fun as going to the library. No, it is a blast. It is a blast. But Game Face, if you're there to socialize, this is not your gal. This is not your gal. If her sister's there, it's cool.
Megan was there. Megan kept it chill. You know what it was? I think I'm fun to watch a game with if it's not my team. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if I went to see, like, for instance, like, if I went to see, I'm in Silver Lake, so Dodger Stadium's right there. Like, if I went to see Dodgers, whoever, you know, I could take the night off. Which still doesn't mean, like, we're going to get caught up. You know what I mean? If I'm with a friend. Yeah. Like,
no, I'll go to a Dodger game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd have a beer.
Yeah. Like, we've been to a baseball game before. Like, I can totally, that's fine.
Yeah.
But the reason why I get my DirecTV with all my sports packages is because I can't take Aaron Foley out in public for Giants, Yankees, like, Ranger playoff game. Like, I just, like, I have to be pacing, you know? Mm-hmm. So when I've had parties and I've had some people over, which doesn't, maybe five or six people, we're all on the same page. So it's a lot of fun. But I was telling Aaron this, I'll tell you this, Fortune was, so, all right, so let's get into it. So so we're all freaking out. And I had my Lucky Giant scarf on.
Yes.
From the beginning. Mm-hmm, I was like, I'm not fucking around. So, because I put it on during halftime of the Germany, Germany-U.S. game in Montreal. Did I tell you I was in Montreal?
I saw it on Facebook. Yeah. I was like, I loved it. I was so happy for you. I really was crying for you.
I was crying. I was crying the whole time. We got to the stadium 2 hours and 15 minutes before the game started.
No, like, then your heart is really racing. I mean, the stakes are so high, and you're there. It's amazing. It's a beautiful thing.
I was losing my mind. So the Giants scarf came out before the finals started. So then Lloyd, here's what I want to talk about. That first goal when Rapinoe kicks it in, Lloyd comes flying out. It was the outside of her left foot, mm-hmm. and she flicks it into the goal. I about fucking lost my mind, because I honestly, going in, I was like, there's no way we're losing. And we all took, like, all right, it was like, I said 3-0, and everyone's like, they looked at me like I was crazy, right? My friend Gwen was like 5-2.
No,
and we're like, all right, you're out of your mind.
No.
She said 5-2 before the game started.
Was
everyone
there money
else said 2-1.
On this? I hope there was. Darn.
She likes soccer, but she's like, 5-2. And I was like, and I looked at her because we were like in the pool before, and I go, 5-2. And what made me angry about that, not angry, I wasn't angry, but I was laughing because I was like, there's no way we're letting two goals in. I was like, because our defense is so good. So that was, I was like, no, cut, we're not letting two goals in. One was an own goal, you know, Julie Johnson said her, but I was thoroughly convinced that no one was going to score on us for the rest of the tournament. I said that like 3 games ago. But anyway, Here's what I want to talk about. Oh, we got a phone call. Oh my God, we have a phone call, Brownie.
What?
We got a phone call.
Ring-a-ding-ding.
We have a phone call. We'll get right back to the
Soccer.
Corner kick.
Taking a break.
Spores Without Balls. It's Aaron. Who do we have on the line?
Hi, it's Courtney Cronin.
Courtney Cronin, best friend of the show.
Oh, I thought you were talking to me.
Courtney, this is my guest. It's Erin Brown. She's a lunatic.
Hey, Courtney.
Yay. Hi, Erin. Hi, Erin.
Thank you for calling in. We're talking women's soccer, but we're going to take a sweet break, and I think I know what you're calling in about. What are you calling in about? What's your question? What do you want to discuss?
Well, I'm calling about my broken heart.
Yes.
That I'm afraid that we're going to lose DeAndre Jordan from the Clippers to the Dallas Mavericks.
Courtney, I thought of you. Right? Keep going. Sorry, I interrupted. Keep going.
Have you already talked about this, about the big secret meeting that's like happening like right now?
No, I can't stop talking about women's soccer. So this is probably a healthy break for every listener who doesn't like women's soccer.
Thank you for calling in, Courtney. Thank you so much.
Yes. That was pretty amazing. That was a tearjerker. That was a fun game. But yes, he apparently is right now meeting with Doc Rivers and some of the other Clippers, trying to talk him into staying and not leaving and going to Dallas.
Courtney,
so there is hope.
Why would DeAndre Jordan, is it money? Why would he leave a really great Clippers situation for the Dallas Mavericks?
Okay,
I don't understand.
For two reasons. One reason, he wasn't really getting along with Chris Paul. That was really obvious, like toward the end of the season, and there was a lot of talk about them, like not really getting along. And DeAndre even said, like his own words, Chris Paul always high fives everyone except me. I'm like, I can't believe that this is like a real conversation that's happening with adults, but
it's
he
so
does get upset.
Middle school.
I know. Brownie wouldn't high five me when we got into the room, and I thought, wow, maybe I'll have to get a new guest.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I think DeAndre's just too tall, and when Chris Paul goes to high five him, he goes up high, down low, too slow, and then misses. And that's what happened.
That's
I was like, what is he so worried about not getting high fives on the court? I think he might be getting hand jobs in the locker room, so maybe that'll make up for the no high fives. I'm kidding. That would never happen, but I've spent
you know what happens every 30
a
seconds.
Couple of times.
Unless I was there.
I'm just kidding. Brownie.
And just to let you know right now, there was like a blackout in our production office, and I'm standing in the parking lot of an IHOP. So
I love
everyone
you.
Had Classy. To evacuate because it was a fire. There really was just a fire. So we're all evacuated, and I'm like standing next to a dumpster talking to you. So
I have to call Sports Without Balls.
Live on the scene, Courtney Cronin.
Exactly. So, and I happen to share an office with some big basketball fans, and we were talking about it this morning. But I think there is hope that DeAndre might stay.
Okay,
there
wait, but what's the other reason? Not getting along with Chris Paul because everybody in the NBA is a giant baby. And
my dad thinks that it's because he could be the star over in Dallas, but that's just not possible that Dirk is still there. He's Mr. Dallas.
Dirk is always going to be, I mean, what is he thinking? Like he's got Dirk's going to retire in the next couple of years and then he's going to take over? The thing is,
they don't even have the same job either. They do totally different things.
Also, no disrespect to DeAndre Jordan, but Dirk Nowitzki is on another level than DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, Dirk is something else. Yeah,
Dirk's one of the best players of all time.
We have his jersey next to our bed, so hanging
see
on
that
the wall.
Tall
so yes,
guy?
We love Dirk in our house.
Met him.
But
wait, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so those are the two reasons.
Wait, Erin Brown, did you just say you met Dirk Nowitzki?
Yeah, at the ESPY Awards a couple of years ago.
What?
Yes, you did!
So don't even worry about it.
Oh my gosh!
But there might be a third reason, like line dancing. Is that no Dallas?
Yes, a country western.
Maybe
fan
something.
Of a country
something.
Western line dancing. Yeah, wait, what was Dirk? What was meeting Dirk like?
I got a neck ache and. They were just cool. I interviewed them, you know,
okay.
And they were really fun and rowdy. And it was
From the red carpet going in?
Yeah.
Courtney's got these really fun things where, what is it called?
It's called Hot on the Red Carpet.
Hot on the Red Carpet, where she brings a little red carpet to red carpet events and interviews people. It's hysterical.
That's rad. That's amazing.
Thanks.
And Dirk was cool?
Yeah, they were all cool.
But
Dirk has a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Dirk's actually, he's like the funniest German in the world.
Yeah.
Courtney's married to a German.
Nice.
He's pretty funny.
Wait, Courtney, I know you have to get back into your production job, but let me just ask you this. Do you have like another minute?
Yes.
Okay.
She's waiting for the evacuation.
She is.
She's got a rooty-tooty freshman.
This is the first time I'm rooting for a fire, so you can continue talking. well, and everyone's safety. Okay. I read about the secret meeting this morning, and I thought to myself, and then I read a headline because I was thinking of you, and I was just like, oh my God, I've got to call Courtney. And he said, now it seemed very kind of positive because he said he was like wavering and stuff like that. But I just thought, and now that it said like players are reaching out, Chris Paul might even be at the meeting. And
he did. Chris Paul reached out. Yeah. And J.J. Redick is like pissed about it.
Oh,
like,
J.J. Redick?
Really mad.
Yeah. J.J. Yeah. Redick gave the Clippers an F minus for the offseason trade.
Whoa.
Yeah. But the thing is, I just read this morning that the Clippers off seasons include Paul Pierce. Are you what?
Yep.
And who's the
Paul
other
Pierce.
Dude from maybe Indiana or something?
Yeah.
Stephenson?
Yes, the guy.
Right?
Stephenson. Yep.
I honestly don't know what you're doing with Paul. I'll give you maybe Stevenson, maybe, but Paul Pierce?
Well, Stevenson's making up for Matt Barnes because we lost Matt Barnes, and
true.
He was kind of our badass, and I think that Stevenson's kind of a tough guy.
He's a tough guy.
Yeah, so I think he's going to come back and like be our badass guy. Like
he is going to be.
And
I hope he leans over and blows into someone's ear like he did last season. It was the greatest thing. Brownie, he literally was guarding LeBron, and like they both had their hands on their knees, like, you know, like waiting for a free throw, and he leans in, he blows into his ear.
Amazing.
He's like one of the greatest plays ever.
He does all kinds of weird stuff. I remember he got in Dwayne Wade's face and was like, yeah, did you just see that? And then he got like a technical, and Dwayne Wade just rolled his eyes like, well, I didn't do anything. I just stood here.
Oh my God.
And,
he's like a ninja.
I just think we talked about their little implosion, but I think overall, to me, when I was watching those, you know, round two, round three, against Houston and stuff, it just felt like they were in serious need of another scorer. And I don't know, I mean, Paul Pierce, obviously, he's a great shooter, but it just felt like Paul... I don't know. Paul Pierce and Stevenson, to me, their names, I'm like, okay, package those dudes up and get someone like in their 20s who can score.
Yeah, but I think Paul Pierce back with Doc Rivers is just going to make magic all over again.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Anytime they bring back anyone from the championship Celtics team back together with Doc, I mean, first it was Big Baby, now Paul Pierce.
Yeah.
And it's like, That warms my little Boston heart. Like,
yeah, true.
So I'm feeling all positive about it. I mean, in fact, Krish like put this giant picture of Paul Pierce on my Facebook, and she's like, guess what? And I was like, I know, the truth is here. And like, she's like, he's there, the truth, you got the truth. So,
Courtney does the best Trish Sir impression of all time.
Yes, for Trish and Aaron's fans. I love the truth. Okay, so,
Let me run one more thing by you real quick, and then we'll wrap it up. One of the stories that we were going to talk about later, and we'll talk about it right now, that Brownie and I are obsessed with, that I sent her this morning is, and real quick, we just have to talk about, well, this is the perfect segue. Matt Bonner, did you read that article? He said he had a horrible shooting last year because he had tennis elbow because he got an iPhone 6, and it was a little bit larger than his other iPhone, and he was texting. And he got tennis elbow from the iPhone, and that's why he didn't shoot that well.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's what happened to my elbow. I was wondering why my arm has been hurting. No, I'm kidding. I don't even have a new iPhone. But that's a little ridiculous. So, wait,
beyond.
Did the Spurs keep him? Because they got rid of everybody else to get
Aldridge.
So, is he still there?
I don't think so. I don't know. I think they're, maybe he's on the bubble. I'm not exactly sure.
I like the pictures he's posing with the iPhone 6. Did you see that?
Oh, no, he's posing with iPhone 6.
The article you sent me. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. There's this whole video of him posing with an iPhone 6. But he goes, I hate to make excuses. I was raised to never make excuses, but I went through a 2.5-month stretch where I really had bad tennis elbow. And during that stretch, it made it so painful for me to shoot. I'd almost be cringing before I caught the ball like, oh, God, this is going to kill.
And then he said, let me tweet that.
And he was on his iPhone while he was warming up.
This is weird. It sounds like the Twinkie defense. It just sounds so out there.
It's a total Yahoo.
Right? He's a Yahoo.
That's like the definition of a Yahoo. But I tell you what, Aldridge,
NBA player,
a professional,
and I have tennis elbow from texting.
What? Even I wouldn't do that.
Would do a lot, but not that.
No, and you know it's funny. Some people are probably like, "You only get tennis elbow from tennis." what's he talking about?
Exactly. Duh.
Texting in tennis. Duh. Real quick, Aldridge to the Spurs. Terrifying. Terrifying.
Yeah, like who else do they want? Like,
come on.
Jesus? Like, who else?
Michelle Obama?
Well, I almost didn't leave my house because of that.
Brownie almost refused to do this podcast. She's like, I can't believe Aldridge went to the Spurs.
Colin, the Spurs. Who's Aldridge? Do you go to the moon?
It's like,
Buzz?
It's over the top. It's over the top. They have so many good people. It's like,
it's stupid.
What else do they think is going to happen next year? It's like, I know they're kind of on a hot streak, you know, lately, and then the last 10 years it's been really good for them, but what else do they, I don't know. I just feel like,
it's ridiculous. LeBron's going to play for the Spurs next year.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
No, that's what I mean. No, but that's the thing. It's like, who else do they want? It's almost like, I was like trying to like think of like a way to like compare it to something, and all I could think of was like these guys who have like 5 and 6 lives. It's like, you don't need 5 or 2. 1 is fine. You don't need.
Sufficient.
Asterisk, scroll down, not in Utah.
Right?
Yeah, I know. I wish I had 5 wives at this point. I think I'd take a relationship that goes over maybe a year and a half.
I'll take over 3 months.
Oh, Brownie's taking over 3 months. Our bars are real low. Real low. Real low. Courtney, thank you so much for calling in. You're the best.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Thank you. And I can't wait. We'll know by the end of today or early in the morning what happens with DeAndre. So
Brownie's not going to be able to leave the studio.
I mean, woof.
I'll text you immediately.
I'm going to call an order in from IHOP right now.
All right. Thanks, Courtney.
Okay. Bye, Aaron.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
This is why I need to do this show for about 7 hours, because I could literally just talk about how Aldridge fits into the Spurs for probably an hour.
Yeah.
I've got some problems. Sweet problems. All right, let's get back. That was super fun. Shout out to Courtney Cronin. She's stand-up, and she does all kinds of TV production, and she's like the number one Clippers fan.
Whoa.
Like, obsessed with the Clippers.
I mean, I was pretty impressed.
Yeah. No, her basketball knowledge was fantastic.
Excellent.
Okay, so let's just geek out about soccer for a little while longer, and then we've got some Wimbledon.
Can we talk about the...
Anything you want.
The payment?
Yeah.
The $8 million versus the $2 million?
Let's jump to that story, and then I do want to jump back to the...
Oh, Do your thing. You're the host of this show.
No, real quick, because the payment thing I could talk about for an hour too.
Yeah.
So you've got all these post-game interviews, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to tie this back into that play.
Smooth.
To me, all the other goals were like, heat of the moment. The Carly Lloyd midfield bomb was outrageous. You know what I mean? Like, but out of the 5 goals, besides the midfield bomb, which you just don't see, which is just all individual Carly Lloyd
magic,
and it didn't. I felt bad. I felt bad at that one point in time for the Japanese goalie, because she was just too far off her line. Sun, running back, trip. Like, it looked so awful.
I feel like those gloves were so heavy on her
hands. They were. She was such a peanut.
So little.
I was telling Aaron before the show, the backup goalie for Japan, because I had watched a bunch of Japan games, is like 7 feet.
Oh, my God.
I literally at one point was like, just even if she's not coordinated, because obviously they went with the better goalie, just put her in for height.
Stick her in.
Just stick her in. At that point, I think we would have scored on both of them. But anyway, at the same time, them playing goal. But what I want to say was this. I, of course, watched the 3 hours of post-game. I woke up the next morning and watched the Fox Sports 1 special between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. on Monday morning, where they had everybody, you know, that they were doing that little, the halftime, you know, kind of interview.
The intermission?
The intermission. they had this like place in Vancouver where they were doing all these filming from.
Right.
So all the women in the team came there. They made like a little soccer field. They handed out the jerseys with the 3 stars on them. Yeah, what was it? 91, I think, 99, and now 2015. I watched the whole thing. Like, it was just like, you know,
love
I couldn't
it.
Get enough, right? So they have all these interviews, and this is sort of my pet peeve, where they ask the same question. They always go, "How does it feel?" Like, you know, and they're like, "Oh, it's amazing. My teammates are great." Like, we know all of this, right?
Yeah.
What I wanted someone to ask, either Rapinoe or Ellis or Carly Lloyd, is talk me through the first goal. Talk me through that corner kick. Because Rapinoe, because I've watched every match since 92, Rapinoe... Rapinoe has like these spot on corners, but they're in the air. They're always in the air. Once in a blue moon, she'll do a short corner, which I think should be illegal because it's so stupid. And so many other teams do it and I hate it. But it's always air, 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 right? All of a sudden, she kicks it into this spot where it looked like they were boxing out in basketball. Yeah. It looked like they created this little hole, right?
Yep.
It just was like the most magical thing. Like to me, that goal was one of my favorite goals, which will be of all time.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, I know the dramatic midfield one was like outrageous, but this to me strategically and within 2 minutes, I wanted to know, did you see something on tape? Is it, I know Japan like notoriously aren't good at like, you know, set pieces, but how did they come up with that? Like, you can send someone running in the box,
yeah.
But Rapinoe put it in a spot where it could only be in that spot. Carly, like, it was the most, I think it was one of the most beautiful goals I've ever seen. And I wanted to know more information, Brownie.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, seriously, I feel like they were just on fire and it was magic time, that whole game. And like,
maybe
I don't know if there
magic.
Was anything behind it. And there might have been, which we'll never know because nobody asked. But
I think it was definitely a set play.
Yeah.
It was a set play for Rapinoe to kick it somewhere and Lloyd to come in.
Yeah.
But I want to know, like, that's what I always want to know with these post-game interviews. It's like, yeah, I know you're all fucking
excited.
Teammates.
Has it hit you?
No. You're a world champion. Like,
it'll never get old.
I mean,
it's true. All of that's true. But yeah, you want
I want to hear some of it. But I think, you know, it's a joke in my stand-up act. It's like, we all know the question's coming.
Yeah.
You know, I always think people should be way more colorful with their answers.
Yeah.
But that's my stand-up
joke.
I just think
that you should have hopped on the field and fucking take
it. I want to put black under my eyes and be like, let's fucking break down these plays.
There you go.
Let's break down. Even like Alexi Lawless and these former soccer, you know, reporters who are great. It was really fun to see female, you know, soccer players from all over the world. They said something like maybe planned set piece and stuff, but I was like, no, I want a board. I want a whiteboard.
You want John Madden.
Or like a John Gruden or a John Madden. I want this broken down. Aaron, did you feel that way?
No.
And that's why we pay him the big bucks, folks.
I missed that goal. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. You put it on. You put the game
on. I put
it on
5 minutes in. And it was 2-0.
Yeah.
I think you should tweet them.
Yeah.
Because they're not getting a lot of traffic right now. Okay. Obama is not tweeting them directly.
Ticket tape parade.
New York City.
New York City ticket tape parade. Oh, my God.
Friday. Right?
Friday.
Yeah.
That's amazing. The only time New York City has done a ticket tape parade.
It's for the Giants or the Yankees. We're hockey.
And we've been there.
Did they ever do for hockey?
Apparently, they haven't done. I mean, the Rangers won in 94, but I just read it was Yankees and Giants. Maybe it's – well, I was at the ticket tape parade in 96 when the Yankees won.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe – did they start ticket tape parades from in 96?
I
mean, I don't know because 94 was Rangers.
I feel like they've done it for Stanley Cup.
Well, the only time it's been done was 94.
Oh, you just said that.
Yeah. No, I mean, so I'd have to look at that, but it just said Giants and Yankees. I think I would have read it if it said Rangers as well. But yeah, into like the Canyon of Heroes and oh my God.
It's going to be amazing.
For women. It's just
all
so
of it.
Exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I never played soccer. I wish I did. But the girls in my high school were always the state champs. They went to, you know, college.
Yeah.
It's so empowering.
I think that's, and I'm going to tip my hat in the feel good moment of the week, but to see all these women in the stadium in Montreal during the finals, LA Live on Monday, 10,000 people going in to see all those women there, and to see all these kids, 10,000. There's probably like 900.
So many little kids.
Know, just what I was about to say is 9,500, not 900. Kids, little girls wearing jerseys. All right, you guys, that's the feel good moment of the week.
Ah,
I'll just repeat
cat
it. At
is
the
out
end.
Of
I'll repeat
bag.
It at the end. That's like the most magical part for
they
me.
They even interviewed little boys too. That was cool. Like they're just
little
inspiring.
Boys, little girls, whatever. It's
you
awesome.
Know?
Yeah. It's just you know, we have so like limited sports as women, and so to see those women just like, and you know, also what I've been thinking about is, you know, 99, I remember that tournament like it was yesterday. I remember that final game. probably because I've seen it a whole bunch of times, but I was with both my sisters in New York City, in the Village. I was subletting this apartment, giant scarf on, screaming, crying, screaming, yeah, losing my mind. And it felt exactly the same way. It felt just as fulfilling, but maybe even, I don't know, maybe even more so. Actually, I can't compare. It's too hard to compare.
The same scarf?
Same scarf. That's had it on in 1991 history. When Scott Norwood hit the ball wide history. Right against the Giants. That's how it started.
Yeah, motherfucker. We watched 4 years ago when they lost together.
I don't want to talk about it either,
but it
when the Giants lost?
No, when we lost soccer, U.S. girls.
Oh, yeah. That was
so
that was
I think
brutal.
The moral of the story, people, is I should not be watching the finals.
No, I mean, I just think it was like so fulfilling because, it, you know, you can say because Germany was number one. France,
that was the best game.
France, I mean, maybe number two. We weren't like number one, yet everyone just assumed, I think a lot of people assumed we were going to win it. And we're like, we weren't honestly the best team going in. And then we had the group of death. We had the hardest path getting in. I mean, the Germany-France in a quarters was really upsetting. Mm-hmm. That should have been a semifinal game. Mm-hmm. That was FIFA at its worst. And that'll go us right into the horrible FIFA money story. Take it away, Brownie.
Yeah, so the women apparently win $2
million.
$2 million. $2 million. That sounds nice until you see what the men get paid. Oh, it's not just double the amount. It's four times the amount.
No.
8 million.
It's like, no, it's 35 billion.
Wait, what?
30?
What was the eight million versus 2 million? There's
That's the U.S. men's.
Yes.
U.S. men's team going out in the round of 16
gets eight.
Made 8 million.
Right.
And we won it all.
We're the world champions.
Yeah.
And we won 2 million. We won a quarter of what they won for not even accomplishing what the women did. It's abominable. And then also the thing about I was reading about the field, like it's like a turf, AstroTurf, and it's bad for your knees. And
okay, so the turf has been Wambach was like, we're not playing. We're not going to go to Canada and playing the turf. It was like a lawsuit. It was this huge deal, right? So then they finally caved because they realized it was a losing battle, right?
Yeah.
Then it came out. Now, maybe this has been news for a while. I just hadn't read it, but... I'm laughing because it's so bad. And then I want to nerdily break down the money.
Yeah.
Because ESPNW, my favorite website, which I talk about every week, had this great article and they really broke down the money. The turf for the men's World Cup in Brazil, it was grass that was flown in from Canada. Flown in from Canada and we couldn't play on natural grass in Canada.
In Canada.
Are you effing kidding me? Also... just Canada, they had a great job hosting. The numbers were just sellouts in every stadium. I do think they underestimated it a little bit, or maybe they don't have the capacity. Because in 99, when we won, it was like over 100,000 people in the Rose Bowl. And these stadiums we were playing at, the max was like that they could hold was like 50-something. Mm-hmm. So that could actually just be structurally like arena-wise in Canada. But... there was supposed to be something like 40-something, maybe max, in Montreal, the game I went to. It was 52.
Wow.
And it was just rafter seats that were open. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, flown in the grass from Canada.
That's crazy. And then that it gets hotter. So that at some
burning
point, 120
feet.
Degrees. So these women are like running, I don't know, how big is a soccer field? It's like miles.
It's 7 miles,
like
Brownie.
How many football fields is it?
It's like a little, it's... we did this dimension at one point in time. I think it's wider than a football team. I mean, a football thing, but I think it's about 100 yards.
It's just insane. Like,
Aaron, we need a fact check.
We really do. Okay. The athletic ability is amazing, but they're running. They're basically doing like hot yoga.
They're doing,
but dribbling the ball and like getting, you know, like bumped and like major contact sport.
Bikram feet yoga.
Literally with cleats. I can't even. I was like, what? And they still win.
And the pellets. The pellets that come up from the turf, they said they're finding their pellets like in every crack of their body.
So are they going to listen now? Or are they going to be like, well, they did it anyway. They're champions. So what do they need
They
grass?
Said they would never do it again. I mean, you know what? It would never happen with the men. It never will happen. It never happened. It never will happen. Because they'll just go, we're not going to play. And people go, oh, okay. But women go, we're not going to play. They go, well, yeah, you are. So gross.
It doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't
When is anyone going to ever wake up? What is up with the FIFA guys? Like, can they just like...
well, they're all just like... FIFA is the most... I've complained...
it's despicable.
...about a certain number of commissioners in different leagues over the years to the U.S.
Yeah.
But FIFA the worst. Is next level, the worst, hands down, organization that exists in sports.
It's like next, you know, World Cup, the women are going to have to wear burkas.
Pretty much.
Because that's what they're being treated like.
They're paying sandlots with burkas.
Yeah.
No, it's disgusting.
Yeah, it's awful.
Okay, Brownie, here's... Okay.
I have the length.
All right, what's the length?
It's 115 yards long.
Okay.
By 74 yards wide.
Wow. You know, in a football field, the width of a football field is what, 40? 50 max?
I think it's 40 or 50, yeah.
115 yards. Okay, so that's, you know, end zone to end zone. Wow.
Nuts.
Wait, so it's... Wait, but it's 100 yards, but then end zone is probably, what, another 6-7 yards? So, yeah, it's like literally going from the back of the end zone to the back of the end zone.
I would do the math with my iPhone 6, but I'm afraid to get tennis elbow.
Boom, call back. Oh. Brownie. All right, check out these numbers, right? 2 million, FIFA word for U.S. World Cup, okay. Men, 35 million. That's 24
what?
Times overall prize money. 24 times, okay. It gets, well, it doesn't.
How do they even justify that? Things are going to have to change.
Yeah, 9 million prize money U.S. men's team took home in 2014 for losing in the round of 16, which was actually a good job considering our men's team isn't that good, although we are getting better. 22.2 million, what FIFA contributed to the making of the box office bomb United Passions, that horrible movie that just got, like, no one even saw. 22 million they dished out for that movie.
And what's that, 9 million?
9 million the men made.
Okay.
These are really nerdy fun stats. Mm-hmm. 1973, that's the year the U.S. Open started paying women and men equal prize money after campaigning from Billie Jean King and 8 other female tennis players, which is an amazing 30 for 30. You have to watch it. Billie Jean King is like right up there. I think Billie Jean King, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Billie Jean King, like they might be tied for who people I want to meet immediately. And Martina Navratilova.
Ruth?
And then I'd like to also sleep with half of the U.S. Women's World Cup team. We talk about this every week. Okay, anyway, here we go. More good numbers. 1.88 million. What each 2015 Wimbledon singles winner take home for being the best in the field, 1.8 million. And the women have Venus Williams to thank. Her fight for equal pay was finally realized in 2007 when the All England Club paid champions Williams and Roger Federer 1.4 million each. Which is another, I don't know if you've seen these, Brownie, you would love these. Two summers ago, in celebration of Title IX, meaning equal sports, mm-hmm. which was, I think, in the 70s, I should know that, Title IX passed where if you have to have a men's baseball team, you have to have a women's softball team. Like, if you have a men, like, so, because there was no, you know, equal teams or equal money allocated. They did a series, 9 for 9, and Venus Williams, it was on ESPN. You can buy them. You can rent them on Amazon. Probably one of my favorite ones was Venus Williams, which I didn't even really realize that because Billie Jean King has been arguing, you know, for equal pay for so long. And Wimbledon was the last tournament that held out and they would not pay women the same as men. And it's 2007.
It's insane.
Venus Williams and Billie Jean King said she asked Graf, she asked Navratilova, she needed like a star
right.
to go into, you know, the administration of all these
right.
tournaments and go, this is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Venus Williams. She did it. Venus Williams, they said, went into the boardroom where it was the Aussie, U.S. Open, Wimbledon, and French, you know, heads of those tournaments.
Yeah.
Went in. No player had ever been into that room before and was like, we're not playing. And they were like,
wow.
Okay. And they caved. And Wimbledon now, equal pay.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's totally. It's a great 9 for 9. Everybody watch it. Here's the only good news. 97%. The good news, FIFA almost doubled the women's total prize pool from 2011 when it was 7.6 million. So they doubled the women's total prize pool.
Way to go, FIFA.
Wow, FIFA. Thanks so much.
We just had a...
I guess we'll play in skirts. You want us to play in skirts, FIFA?
Seriously.
With color contacts and eyelashes, extensions.
Which one do you have the biggest crush on? Or well, if you had to pick between, let's narrow it down.
Every
Abby.
Single person that listens to the show is like, oh my God, is Philly seriously still talking about how many people she wants to shake?
Oh my gosh.
Well, I mean,
it was sweet with the
massive
kiss.
Crush. Oh yeah, that I wrote down. Massive crushes on Carly Lloyd and yeah. Krieger and Rapinoe.
Okay.
Hope Solo, not so
Hope
much.
Solo. I picked if I had one weekend, like a furlough, mm-hmm. where I could pick one person on the team and just have a blowout weekend. Hope Solo.
Got it.
Oh my god, yeah. I wouldn't come back alive, but it would be the greatest weekend.
You
of my
might
life.
Have a bruise or two.
Oh my god, I'd be arrested, but she would braid my hair so tightly I'd lose consciousness.
It would be worth it.
She's. I mean, I know. Listen, she has horrible behavior, but and I just it's hard to separate sometimes. But her goalkeeping is the best. She's the best goalkeeper. Female goalkeeper of all time. Up till now.
Impeccable.
Up till now. Let's do some quick highlights and then we've got a couple more stories. But Wombach's kiss. Here are my three things. Wombach's kiss. Boxy, Rampone, and A-Rod's kids running around the field. It's the cutest thing ever. Because everyone's like, oh, there's so many gay... There's like four.
Right.
Everybody fucking calm down.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, literally, there's like three lesbos and everyone's like straight and they have kids. So just relax.
Yeah.
God forbid... There's a couple of lesbos on the team. Yeah, and then, well, the kiss was adorable because so Wombach looks like her last World Cup.
And with the, what is it, the badge, the,
yes.
I don't know Lloyd, if that's on your list.
No, the cat, right, look, Lloyd giving Wombach the captain's armband.
Reading your mind.
Reading my mind.
I think that, yeah, Abby's sweet, and I wonder if Leonardo has gotten the call yet to play her in the biopic. Is that awful?
What? Brody!
Sorry, I had to say it.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
It would be a real stretch for him.
I can't believe you just said that. I don't think I'm going to recover from that.
Leonardo DiCaprio for an Oscar win as his role as a woman. Dustin Hoffman did it for Tootsie.
It'd have to be better than J. Edgar.
It'd have to
I
be
mean,
better than J.
anything
Edgar.
Is better than J. Yeah. Edgar.
She did have a little bit of a severe haircut going
yeah.
in.
I love her.
Well, no, she's
fantastic. A very handsome man.
He's a very handsome man. She's a handsome lady.
She's cool. I'd like to have a beer with her.
I would love to have a beer with Wombach. She's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, that kiss was super sweet and adorable. And like she was under so much pressure and she knew this was it and her playing time was like cut in half.
Yeah.
And
I didn't quite understand all that. I guess she's just older.
No, in a nutshell, also, you know, we have the most depth in forwards, mm-hmm. you know, and we've had all this kind of young speed, you know, and then they changed the lineup to do five midfielders to put Carly, the beast, to unleash the beast.
Yeah.
Beast or mm-hmm. beast. So that meant like it was, you know, you're not going to play with more than two forwards. And if Carly's keeps cheating up and keeps cheating up, then you'd kind of sub in the speed is Morgan, LaRue, and A-Rod. And so Wombach kind of just, you know what I mean? It was kind
A-Rod's
of like
on the team now. Wow.
I love that I said speed and A-Rod. I watched the Yankees game last night, right? I watched the Yankees, who do they play? Oakland A's. And there was, A-Rod struck out at the plate and it was a pass ball. So, you know, you can run to first. I've never seen anything slower. I've never seen.
He's done. I wish they'd get rid of him.
He's on my fantasy baseball team. He's keeping the peaches in action.
Right, he's right. playing exceptional he's for playing, a guy who just lost an entire year.
Yeah, lost right, an entire
okay,
year with two hip
surgeries.
No,
take
listen.
No,
I don't like him. Nobody yeah, likes
nobody
him.
Nobody likes him.
I'm just saying, two hip surgeries.
He's a lizard person.
He's a lizard person.
Yeah.
And he was waddling to first, trucking so hard, but I was like, his hips are going to fall out again. You know what I... This is what I thought, Brody. You know when you're on the dance floor and they jazz up an already fast song?
Yeah.
Like they techno up a song that's already fast and you're like, how fast do you want me to dance?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to blow a hip. I'm going to blow a hip or my lower back. That's what it felt like if my A-Rod was running.
That's like at the gym when they turn up the tempo.
Yeah. You're like,
the worst.
Easy.
Bring it down, Tom Dieters. Pro you. You should listen to his. He's got a great podcast. You would dig.
I'll have to check that out. Amy Rodriguez, not Alex Rodriguez.
I know. I was just being funny. I didn't know that at all, people.
No, why do you think you're on this podcast? Because you bring a lot of joy, a lot of humor.
That's what I do.
And some knowledge. Oh my God, we have to hit Wimbledon. Okay, listen. Let's conclude. Let's do closing thoughts.
Closing arguments.
Closing arguments. I was so unbelievably proud of this team. They had a huge monkey on their back from 99. They lost in the finals penalty kicks in 2011, where they were the team that was expected to win. Everyone, I think, they changed the lineup. Coach Ellis, I was doubting her the entire time. She tweaked the lineup before the Montreal game, or maybe even before the China game, and it worked. Everyone played their best, which is what it would take to win. And I was just thrilled.
Yeah, it was total inspiration and chills. Like every time I would watch the game, and
yeah.
You know, I'm not even as an avid sports watcher as you are, but I get into it.
Yeah. And just, it's America, too.
It's America. Hell yeah. Just the heart that they all put into it, and they're such a team and such a unit. It's cool.
It was awesome.
And really, truly incredible.
And everyone had different roles, and they weren't complaining. They just seemed so positive.
Yeah.
They seemed, Lloyd having the tournament of her life, the game of her life, one of the world's best performances you'll ever see in a World Cup final, taking that captain's armband and giving it to Wambach. I'm like, that's why you win.
Yeah.
And we've all heard these stories from day one. Like, I think it's happening in baseball right now. It happens on, you know, in so many different teams where they, you know, they get, like, they buy or whatever it is. Like, they'll get, like, 8 all-stars and the team loses because there's no chemistry.
Yep.
And so I think this team, it was...
Dodgers. Sorry.
I'm not going to lie. I was looking at Aaron. It's the Dodgers. You know, and so you think, oh, we'll plug in all these all-stars. The Yankees have done it for years, and that there's just no team chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think
it's not
like
a formula, like a mathematical equation. Yeah. It comes, like you said, chemistry and relationships.
And they've
respect.
Been playing together for a very long time, a lot of them have.
Yeah.
So it was just fantastic. And I'm gonna miss them individually. I'm going to miss them as a group.
Yeah, but the trickle-down effect is so huge.
Yeah, I got up early and worked out. Kidding. What I did do was watch the first 15 minutes of the game 17 more times. I it's embarrassing how much I've watched that first 15 minutes.
Great.
And it's like new every time. I'm like, oh, God! And then I was like, wow, maybe I should return to my life. Okay, tennis. We've got nearing the end. Tennis, Wimbledon. Watched the fourth and fifth set this morning of Wawrinka and Gasquet.
Yeah.
Honestly, one of the best tennis matches I think I've seen, and I didn't watch the whole thing. I just watched from fourth set on. I want to run this by you. Wawrinka, Swiss, always in Federer's shadow. Granted, he lost, but he won the French Open. He won Aussie Open 2 years ago. He's coming to life. He's got the sweetest arm tattoo. Samuel Beckett, it's like, you know, when everyone's got like a crossbow and chains, like just gross tattoos, this is what he has on his arm.
Skull.
Samuel Beckett on his left arm, ever tried, ever failed, no matter, try again, fail better.
Boom, I just got the chills.
I mean,
You're
welcome, Sports Without Balls fans, friends, family. Boom. That's amazing.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. And it's on his left arm, and so when he's, or whatever he's doing, he can see that.
Yeah.
Oh, I love him.
Swiss.
He did lose today, which is a bummer, but during... I was saying this right before that we hit record. I was totally rooting for him. I'm like a huge new fan. But Gasquet, the announcers were like really kind of pulling for Gasquet just because he hadn't been in a semifinal in 8 years.
Mm.
And he's been like number 20, 18, 19, 20 for a long time. And they said, well, you know, he's getting up there. This could be one of his last chances. He's 29.
Oh, man.
Frowny.
Sad.
He's 29.
He's 29. How old is Federer?
86, apparently.
Exactly.
I don't know. Federer's probably like mid-30s.
Yeah.
At
right?
least.
I'll look him up.
But 29, they're like, oh, it's almost like they were talking about like he was going to be dead the
Poor
next
boy.
Day.
He's getting his AARP
29,
card.
And oh, God.
Jeez.
That's when I threw myself off the balcony.
About to
34.
That's it? He looks year, older.
In August, he'll be 34.
He looks older, but yet he's in the semis.
Oh, he's incredible.
Federer's playing Murray. I'm going to be rooting for Murray. Djokovic is playing Gasquet. Now I'll have a little sweet pot for Gasquet, but I think he's going to get killed.
Gasquet, because he's so old.
Because he's so old. It's like Weekend at Bernie's. It's like prop up
Gasquet.
Yeah, I'm rooting for... I want a Djokovic-Murray final.
Okay.
But... Federer's won too many times. I'm like, you know, like I like that he's still around, but I'm over him. I've been
I get
over
it.
Him for a long time.
I get it.
You know,
Michael Chang.
Bring back Michael Chang.
Where the heck is that guy,
Wait,
by the way?
Dude, Brownie, Chang is coaching.
Oh, really?
Chang is coaching I think a Japanese player that made it to like the quarters of the semis in the last like year.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I was like, you know how they, this is how you feel like so old.
Yeah.
They'll put the camera on like the coaching box and you're like, oh my God, I watched him in his prime.
Totally.
Like Becker, yep. Right? He's coaching. Lendl was coaching. Davenport's coaching Madison Keys. There's a lot of like this new trend. Mm. And that's why I love Andy Murray, because he's being coached by a woman and is so supportive how he's like, men need to have, he's like, they should be more open to women's coaching.
Nice. He has
Amélie Mauresmo before she pops one out, that French star, that's his coach.
Wow.
So awesome. Davenport, it's good to see Davenport back there.
Yeah.
She always had the weirdest body, and I always would like, you know what I mean? Like, she looked so uncomfortably like unfit.
Yeah.
And yet she just was so fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
She almost looked like she had like like a wooden back. Like, she just always looked like so.
That's what I thought when I watched. I was like, wow, like how does boxy. She play with that wooden back? I wonder if I'm the only one that thinks like this.
She like, has like a box. Puppet.
She's like a Pinocchio. Like, she's like wooden.
You know what I mean? She just looks so
she's like
square.
An oak tree. I don't know what that means.
She's boxy. Oak tree Davenport with the
stump legs.
Old hickory.
Old hickory. Oh, Davenport with the old hickory backhand. She's coaching Madison Keys, and I was super bummed Madison Keys got beat by Radwanska, who is good.
Mm.
That woman is good. So we've got
tomorrow.
Dude,
I almost want to watch
it
with you.
What's 7 a.m.? If you can be
Serena
in my apartment at 7 a.m.
And what's her face? Sharapova.
Come
on.
It's going to be awesome.
I almost don't know who I want.
I'm a little torn. I am a big Sharapova fan.
Me too.
The only thing is if Serena wins.
Incredible.
She's okay. This is a point I wanted to grow up.
How old is she, by the way?
Serena's 86.
She's,
I don't know, 32,
oh,
31,
same,
32,
okay.
33.
She's old.
Here's what I nerdily looked up because I couldn't understand what they were talking about. I looked up the difference between, or what they were talking about, a seasonal slam or a calendar year slam. Because they kept not, because Serena's like, I want to talk about the slam. I don't want to talk about the slam. And I was like, well, you're two tournaments away from the slam. So why would you, like, you know what I mean? It,
uh-huh.
it seemed like you'll talk about, what is it when the horses, the Triple Crown, like
yeah.
Before Belmont, not like in the beginning.
Yep.
But Serena won last U.S. Open. So if she wins Wimbledon, she'll do what they call like the seasonal slam, right? But there's a whole article I read.
Wait, break it down for me, the seasonal slam.
So seasonal slam is like four, is what they call like four tournaments in a row, which is only been done by like maybe four women.
Uh-huh.
So it's the U.S. Open, into Australian Open, into French Open, into Wimbledon. So that's four majors. You've won four majors in
so
a row.
So that's a seasonal.
That's a seasonal. But there was the debating what's more like, you know, not credible, everything's amazing, both of them are amazing, but like what almost ranks higher is the calendar slam. You start in January in Australia, French, Wimbledon, U.S. So it's the calendar year. Now, it's a ridiculous argument.
That's so ridiculous.
But they consider that, I wrote it down, a golden slam.
Because so, it's all in the same year.
Because it's all in the same year. Which I get. It's kind of fun. Whatever. But it hasn't been done since 1988, Steffi Graf.
Ah.
So back to your point tomorrow, I love Sharapova. So I'm probably going to root for Sharapova because yeah. I don't need Serena win everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be kind of cool to see Serena win that slam. Get a seasonal, what they call also a Serena slam because she's the last one to do it, I think, in 2002.
She's a beast, that chick.
She's a beast.
She is slightly younger than Roger Federer, by the way.
Was she?
85?
She's going to be 34 in September.
Oh, wow. So it's, you know what it is, Serena Williams, it's been interesting to see like her progression as like a human being,
mm-hmm.
because she was super unlikable for a really long time and had some really shitty behavior on the court and her attitude towards everything.
Mm-hmm.
But she's seriously mellowed out.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. She seems a lot more respectful to the game.
Because she has to be. She's got to win the fan support.
Yeah,
maybe,
but also I think
care.
She's matured.
That's
and,
good.
And also I think she was like, I can't imagine like Venus, I always thought was just sort of grew up faster and was, you know, and she had her moments too. But Richard Williams, that dude is so crazy.
I'm scared just to look at him.
And he, what, you know, they came out the only African Americans like ever.
Yeah.
So they had like the biggest, like, it's me against the world.
Yeah.
And now it just feels like, we're both. I'm like the hugest Venus Williams fan. I like Serena. Mm-hmm. I don't love her, but I like her. But we respect them so much, and I think they sort of like just kind of grew up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they proved themselves.
Yeah, and they're such like great ambassadors of the game. And now it's Serena. I mean, Serena was at the Taylor Swift concert. I mean, I love it.
Oh my god,
I love that.
It's like trouble.
I love me some T Swift.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Taylor Swift?
I love her.
I love her.
I'm a super fan, and I'm proud of it. I'm a Swiftie.
Oh. I didn't know that was called, it's called a Swiftie?
Yes, my nephew Brendan told me that. He's like, Aaron, I'm a Swiftie. I'm proud of it. He's the most confident kid.
That's the weightlifter.
He's a power.
How is he doing?
He's incredible.
We highlighted him on the show you did last year.
Man, he's awesome, Brendan Brown. He's probably training for something right now. He's so dedicated. He got accepted to a camp at West Point this summer. So he was at West Point.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That's where he'd like to go, but we'll see about that. That's pretty tough.
Well, but congratulations and good luck.
He's great. He's a great kid.
Cousin.
Yeah.
Cousin?
He's my nephew.
Nephew. Mm-hmm. Same thing. All right. Well, we're going to wrap up the show, but let's do some predictions. We've got Radwanska and a woman who I don't know, I have to do some research on. I've heard her name before. It's like Muguruza.
From where?
I'm assuming an Eastern European bloc. I don't know her.
Where's the other one from?
Radwanska's from probably, I don't know, Ukraine, Russia.
Yeah.
No, she's won a bunch of tournaments, and she's tough. She's really good. I'm going to go with Radwanska on that one. What do you think about Serena Sharapova?
I don't know. Yeah. I really don't know. What is Sharapova ranked this year in this tournament?
She's probably like
number
two, three, but Serena's had her number. She hasn't won in like 11 times or something. Like Serena just.
I don't know.
I know, but maybe it's Sharapova coming back.
It's probably going to be Serena.
I'm going to say,
I mean, just watching the match, what was it, 2 days ago?
Yeah. The Addison or the whatever. Yeah, she just.
First off, that girl grins like, what's her face? Not grins, groans. She's so Monica Seles.
I love, I really like her, but the
Me
groaning
too.
Is crazy. She's one of my favorites.
I like her.
And
she played really well, but then
Azarenka. Azarenka. Yeah. She's great. She's super fun to watch.
She's got a few more years in that tank.
Oh my God. She's
she's like big. 17?
She's a fit lady, and she's young. All right, so Djokovic, Geske. I'm going to go with so we're going with Serena. Djokovic, Geske. I'm going to go with Djokovic because Geske hasn't beat him, I think, ever. Murray, Federer. I'm going to go with Murray, but I think that would be the game to watch if I had to watch one.
When is that one on?
They're both probably going to be on, what, Friday morning.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Bring in some coffee and bagels.
Bring in some coffee
Maybe
and bagels.
Maybe I will.
Come over.
Oh,
Let's
my
just
God.
Watch it.
Is Megan going to be there?
I
need a buffer.
She doesn't leave till about 7:45, so.
Perfect.
No, this one, like, I'm really, I'll be really,
You'll
I'm
be
calm
chill.
During.
Yeah.
I mean, calmer than normal. Yeah. Listen, I think we just kicked ass. I'm not going to lie. Aaron, great job on the with the fact checking and overall fantastic comments.
Very quick.
Suck it, Carol.
I know. Carol is taking the last couple podcasts off. She's finding herself in Joshua Tree. Listen, the feel-good moment of the week, which we always end on, which I think randomly last week I forgot to add in, is the spirit of the Women's World Cup. All these little kids wearing women's jerseys. I saw it in Montreal, about died. It was just the face painting and the autographs and giving them, you know, and Wambach's comments of like to the camera before the game of like, every little kid, if you have a dream, just go for it. And I'm like, I start sobbing before the game even
chills.
Starts.
Like,
it was amazing. You have chills. Brownie has chills, you guys.
Guys. Big time.
Anyway, that's a feel-good moment of the week. So take the energy and spirit of the Women's World Cup and these female athletes and their achievements. Get up early and hit the gym. Be better than ever. That's what I'm going to try to do.
That's going to be tough because you are always the best. But she's going to be better than ever,
I'll
people.
I'll be better than ever. Brownie, where can people find you and get information and see Hot on the Red Carpet?
Start following me on Twitter, people. It's at Hot Red Carpet. Same with YouTube, Hot Red Carpet, AaronBrown.tv.
AaronBrown.tv, at Hot Red Carpet, yeah. Hot Red Carpet on YouTube. Her videos are hilarious.
I will show up at your private event for the right number, people.
Yes, let's do it.
Seriously.
And thank you to Courtney Cronin for calling in and doing a little NBA nerdiness. Super fun. Thank you, Brownie. Sports Without Balls, fans, friends, family, have the best week of your life.